Amen. Please remain standing for a moment. Aren't you glad what the Lord is doing in this hour? His presence among us, how he's been meeting us in such a special way. I was thinking of the scripture that says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Amen. And we are righteous because of what Christ has done, not in our own righteousness. Amen. And the scripture talks about how Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And as I was sitting there, and I was just kind of saying, Lord, what can we pray about tonight? I was thinking of just what the Lord is doing with us and with all the churches that he's allowed us to partner with through Feed New York, 100+ churches that he's allowed us to lock arms with and to begin to feed the hungry. And we saw this past week as we were meeting that we're feeding as a church, and with Feed New York is feeding 17,000 people a month. Folks, 17, isn't that right? 17,000 people a month, folks, that is being fed as a result of the body of Christ coming together and working together to do what Christ called us to do. He said, when you give it unto any of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, right? He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. You clothed me. And so I thank God for what he is doing. So we have much to rejoice and thank God for in this hour, what he's doing. Amen. Can we bless the Lord for what he is doing? Hallelujah. The privilege he is giving us as a church to be the church in this hour, to gather across denominational lines, to lock arms with one another. But one of the things that came into my heart was what Elijah did. You know, the Lord caused him to begin to pray. He prayed because the Lord told him to pray, that God was going to send the rain, folks, that God wanted to send the rain. And so he was a man just like you and I, and he began to pray. And as he began to pray, God shut up the heavens. And then again, when he began to pray, God opened the heavens. And we've sensed, and we've been talking about how the Lord wants to pour out his spirit, how we sense revival is coming, how we sense the Lord wants to open an effectual door to us. He wants to open a window of opportunity, that he's going to send in the harvest, and that we need to get ready. And so my prayer tonight is, God, would you help us to get ready? Would you help your church to get ready? Would you cause your bride to arise with oil in her lamp, ready, trimmed for what God is about to do, ready to receive the harvest? Are you ready to receive the harvest? Are you ready to receive souls? Are you ready for God to use you to encourage somebody into the Lord, to pray for someone, and to see deliverance come into their life on your job? Are you looking with an expectation for God to use you for an open door in your community, in your neighborhood, in your family? Folks, it doesn't matter how long they've been in darkness, one word from heaven, hallelujah, can bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? So tonight I want to pray, God, would you send the rain? Would you allow your Holy Spirit to fall on this city, fall on all the churches in our communities? How many of you have a church in your community? You have a church in your neighborhood. There are churches in your neighborhood. Maybe you pass it in your daily commute. You pass it going to and from school, work, home, maybe to the supermarket. Can you believe God to pour out his spirit in that church? Can you pray for the pastor of that church? Can you do that tonight? Folks, it doesn't matter what name is on the door. If we have crossed the bloodline, if everyone believes in Christ, we can pray for one another and believe God to pour out his spirit. Can you do that tonight? Would you lift your voice? Would you begin to pray for those pastors? Would you begin to pray for those congregations? Would you pray for those churches that you know are seemingly dead, that God would breathe life into them? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice right now. Begin to pray for those pastors. Begin to pray for the church. Hallelujah. Father, we lift our voices tonight. Not one voice silent. Lord, we thank you. You've given us a voice. You've called us to pray. Lord, that's why we're here. We're here to pray and seek your face. You said your house is to be a house of prayer. Lord, a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, it's not just this building. We are the temple of the living God. We are to be that house of prayer. God, send your spirit of intercession and prayer and supplication upon us. Lord, we ask that you would deliver us from limiting you, deliver us from seeming things, Lord, only from a human perspective. We thank you that Elijah was a man of like passions, Lord, and you used him in his generation and his hour to make a difference. God, we believe in you to use us. We thank you that we have power with God. We have power, Lord Jesus, to call down, Lord Jesus, as Elijah did. Lord, to pray, Lord, until we see, Lord, a cloud the size of a man's fist that we can pray. Lord, for the churches in this city. Lord, we lift up not just our church, but every church in this city. God, that you would visit them in a special way. We thank you for the 100+ churches that are part of Feed New York. God, would you ignite those pastors? Would you encourage those pastors? Would you strengthen their hands? I pray, Lord, that you'll cause their congregations, Lord, to see the souls that are coming in as a result of the hungry that are being fed. Thank you for the reports already, God, of some churches that are standing room only because of what you're doing, because your church is simply being your church. We are simply doing what you've called us to do, like they did in the book of Acts. Lord, how they began to feed the, Lord, the widows, oh God, and reach out to those, Lord, that were needy in their community. You said, when you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the privilege of coming boldly into your throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in the time of need. Father, we know your church needs you. We need you, oh God. Your people need you. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit, oh God. Send the latter rain. The latter rain that brings in the harvest. The latter rain that is able to save our unsaved loved ones. The latter rain that is able to save our bosses. The latter rain that is able to save our coworkers. The latter rain that is able, Lord, to touch and open the eyes, Lord, of our classmates. The latter rain, oh God, that is able to fall, God, on this society and to change it. We believe that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are God and besides you there's no other. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the devil does not have the victory. He does not get the last word. You get the last word, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us here in the earth to make a difference. You've given us, Lord, this hour, you've given us every precious promise in the book. We thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. Lord, that you have pledged your promises to us, that you would save us in our households. Lord, you've pledged, Lord God, that everywhere we tread, you've given us the land. Every promise in the book, you've given it to us. Lord, we ask for the heathen as our inheritance and the uttermost parts of the world as our possession. Lord, we ask for those that you have placed in our paths, God, that you would begin to touch them, that you would open doors for us to share with them. We thank you, oh God, Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, like you delivered the demoniac, you can deliver those that are oppressed, you can deliver those that are bound, those that are hurting themselves, those that are self-destructing. God, you are able to touch them, you're able to deliver them, you're able to meet them right where they're at. Lord, I think of the woman who had an issue of blood, oh God, how she came and touched the hem of your garment, and how you began to heal her life. Lord, she had spent all her life givings, Lord, with through the hands of physicians, everything and nothing could cure her. But Lord, one encounter, one touch, Lord, one meeting with you, one divine appointment with you, and her life was changed forevermore, never to be the same. Oh God, you changed us. We believe you can do, Lord, you can do the same for those that are around us. God, would you touch, Lord? Lord, our churches, would you touch these churches? Would you touch Times Square Church? Would you touch your body, your people? God, would you cause us to rise as your church, as your bride? God, we thank you that you're going to do it. God, I thank you that you have a victorious church. Lord, that we have the victory in you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will use us, Lord, as we are available to you. Lord, we are available. We are available to you. We are available to you, that you will use us for your glory, God, that you will use us for your honor, that you will use us for the furtherance of your kingdom. God, I thank you that your church is not going out with a whimper. Your church is going out, oh God, victorious. Father, we pray for every pulpit. We pray, Lord, that every pulpit in this city would become a burning bush. Every pulpit, Lord Jesus, would be a place where men and women will have a living encounter with the living God. We pray for every pastor that you will give them a word from heaven. Lord, that that word would be like fire shut up in their bones. Lord, that when they stand behind the sacred desk, they will have come from the secret closet of prayer, that they will have come, Lord, from your presence. And God, they will have an arrow in their quiver, God, an arrow that will be launched, that will be shot from the pulpit, Lord, that it will find its mark in the hearts of your people. Lord, an arrow, a word, Lord, from heaven, Lord, that will produce faith, a word from heaven, Lord, that will demolish doubts, Lord, a word from heaven, oh God, that will dispel darkness and confusion. Father, we're believing you. Lord, we're believing you for a word from your throne. We're believing you for healing in your house. We're believing that your church, your house, your temple will be a house of prayer for all nations. God, we're asking that you'll continue to strengthen us. Help us to continue to lock arms. Help us not to be intimidated by the devil. Lord, help us not to shy away, Lord, from our inheritance. Help us, oh God, to claim every promise in the book that's ours. God, we're believing you. Lord, we're believing you. Lord, we thank you for the victory on the cross. We thank you that the devil is defeated. We thank you, oh God, that the victory is ours. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we thank you that when everybody calls on your name, no one who calls on your name will ever be put to shame. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the victory. Lord, we're believing, Lord, like Elijah prayed, God, that you will send the rain, God. Let it rain on your people, that you'll rain on our communities and our workplaces. Lord, we have an expectation in our hearts. Give us divine appointments and help us to see things the way you see them. Lord, you said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Use us. Use us for your glory. Hallelujah. Come on, ask him to use you for his glory. We're believing you to use us for your glory. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for what you're going to do, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for every ministry in this church. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word that goes forth from this pulpit. We're believing, oh God, that every Sunday as pastor stands behind this desk, Lord, that the powers of darkness and unbelief, Lord, will be pushed back, oh God, once again. And Lord, not only people in this church, but wherever this message is being streamed, God, that faith will arise in the hearts of your people. And that freedom will reign. Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We honor you tonight and we exalt your name. For you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, God. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, come on, give him praise tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Times Square Church. I'm so glad he changed me. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm so glad he changed me. And you could tell them, I'm so glad he changed you. If you knew what we were before Christ, you'd be glad he changed us. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, pastor, for this opportunity to share the word. Let me just read the passage to you. Matthew 15, verses 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the topic of great faith. Great faith. Pray with me. God, you've been stirring our hearts ever since the moment these doors were opened tonight, dear God. Father, stirring our hearts to believe you, to approach you, to come near. We sense your arms open wide, inviting us into the miraculous, inviting us into abundant life, inviting us into the supernatural life, dear God, to a glorious manifestation of your power, your mercy, your compassion, not just for us, but a cup overflowing that would flood our borders, dear God. We prayed for rain, dear God, to flood this city, to flood this nation, to flood our neighborhoods, to flood our homes, to flood our workplaces, dear God. And we're asking for faith. We're asking that you draw us into that place of faith. Continue to move upon our hearts and produce in us what we can't produce in our own strength. And Father, we're asking that your name be glorified in us and through us. Speak to us now, dear God. Open our ears, open our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel sometimes that I want God to bring me into a deeper faith than I've ever known before. I don't want to offer up just worship. I don't just want to offer up songs. I don't want to just go through the motions and come to church and raise my hand. I want something real. I want my faith to be concrete, something evidence of things not seen, things hoped for, things that God has spoken to my heart, an assurance, a blessed assurance that gives me a stability in my walk, that gives me a weight in my speech. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something of God. I'm reminded of a time when I was in high school and we did this Kris Kringle. I hate those things where you have to exchange gifts and you just draw a name and you don't even know the person that you're giving a gift to and you don't know who's going to give you a gift. And it came the time to share the final gift, and I got mine. It was about the size of a shoebox, and I began to unwrap it. Nicely wrapped, and I kept on unwrapping, and then more paper, and then more paper, and then more paper, and taking it in front of the whole class in high school. And then at the very center of the box, there was a little note that said, Oops, I forgot the gift. I think to this day, I'm traumatized, you know. They say, who wants to participate in a Kris Kringle? I run the other way. But, you know, sometimes I feel that my offering to him could be like a box, very nicely wrapped and yet no substance in it. And my worship could be words, beautiful words, and my mind could be far away from him. My prayers could be just routine, you know, just going through the motions, and yet my heart not proclaiming the truth of how great he is and how faithful he is to his promises. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to offer an empty shoebox and say, oops, I'm sorry, I forgot. I forgot the faith part about it. I forgot the believing part, that part that pleases you, that part that honors you, that part that brings glory to your name. The Word of God says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What makes a gift great? We know that the gift of faith is real. We know it comes from his hand, but what makes it great? What made Jesus look to her faith? So, woman, great is thy faith. This is not ordinary. There were very few things that would shock Jesus, that would surprise him, would delight his soul. And yet, sometimes it was unbelief, the unbelief of a people. He turned to his disciples and says, Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt me? Why did you fear? But sometimes it was the faith of certain people that would just astound him, and he would showcase it in front of everybody. He would make a big deal about it. It was almost like saying, look here, a vivid lesson. This is what great faith is all about. And I hope that God would stir us to see this woman as a testimony, as a picture of what great faith is. What makes a gift great? Is it the price? I always erase the price on the back of the cards when I give it to my wife. We have this little thing which has been going on forever, and I put like a different price, like $24,000. And I'll put something like, "You're worth it, baby." Because I know she's going to look at the price in the back. What makes a gift great? Is it the size? You know, little kids, it's the size. Bigger is better, you know? They look at the size of all the gifts under the tree, and whatever is bigger, they hope is for them. Or the bride-to-be looks at the size of the diamond. And for them, bigger may be better. The one I got my wife when we first got married 27 years ago was real tiny. It was all I could afford. Some people think what makes the gift great is the thought. It's the thought that counts, right? Some people are saying, no, not really. Not for me. Maybe it's the brand. Maybe it's the quality. I've given gifts that have fallen apart so quickly because I bought it on sale cheap somewhere. I would take gifts to my family over there and try to save money. I would go to, I'm not going to mention the places. But I remember buying a watch for my brother-in-law, and the glass just came out the moment I gave it to him. I never bought a watch there again where I went, somewhere on the streets of New York City. Faith is a gift. James 12:2 says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Paul makes reference to it in Romans 12:3. He says, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. So what is it about this woman's faith that makes it great and makes it worthy of showcasing in front of all his disciples, in front of all the audience? Let me suggest to you that it's because she continues to approach the Master even when her prayer request will seemingly go unanswered. She just presses through. It seems like he's ignoring her. It seems like he's paying no mind. It seems like he's just walking his way. And it's futile. Her efforts are futile. But she continues to approach the Master even when it seems like her prayer is going to go unanswered. Sometimes we give up because we've prayed three times. We're like Paul. We said, I prayed three times, so I'm giving up. That was a different case. He was praying for a thorn in the flesh to depart from him, and God gave him an answer. God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. He answered his prayer. It says he answered her not a word. Sometimes we think the greatness of our faith is in the greatness of the greatness of her faith was in the greatness of her approach, how she approached God. And sometimes we think, maybe I'm approaching God in the wrong way. Maybe I'm not using the right terminology. Maybe I'm not honoring him with the way I'm approaching him. She said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe that's where the greatness of her faith is, that she acknowledged him as Lord. She acknowledged him as the Messiah. She acknowledged him to be the one to have mercy on her. But Bartimaeus prayed the same way, and instantly God stopped. The Lord stopped in his tracks, and he said, bring him over here. And he gave him the request of his heart. Why did he answer her not a word? Surely she was approaching him with the right approach. She says, my daughter is grievously vexed. Is the greatness of our prayers, is the greatness of our faith, the motives that we have? She wasn't praying for herself. She was praying for her daughter. She was praying for compassion over her daughter, that her daughter would be delivered, her daughter would be set free. The reason, the motives why we approach him, we examine our motives when God hasn't answered our prayers. We examine, am I doing it with the right heart? And that's good. That's good. But I believe that the greatness of her prayer was not in her method of approach. It was not in her motives of approaching him. Jairus prayed for his daughter, and immediately Jesus says, I'll go to your house. I'll go to your house, and I'll touch your daughter, and I'll raise her up, and I'll give her health. The centurion said, you just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. He had faith. And Jesus said, wow, that faith is incredible. It's amazing. And he spoke the word, and he was healed. And yet, this lady approaches her master and seemingly is going to be unanswered. I believe the greatness of her faith was that in spite of the silence of God, she continued to press through. In spite of her prayers going unanswered, she continued to knock and keep knocking. She continued to seek and keep seeking. She continued to ask and keep asking. She wasn't worried about being a nuisance. She wasn't worried about being loud. She wasn't worried about what people were going to say. She was going to say, God, I'm going to keep on coming back to you because I know in you lies all my hope. I've tried everything else. I've tried this religion. I've tried all the methods in my country and nothing has delivered my daughter. Nothing can work. My hope is in you and in you alone. So where else am I going to go but you? You are the master of my life. I will continue to come to you because you are my only hope. That was the greatness of her prayer. That was the greatness of her faith. She was continually coming to him in spite of the silence, in spite of the apparent unanswered prayer. She was not going to give up. She put all her other trusts aside. She knew she couldn't go anywhere else but forward in Christ. She said, even if the heavens are brass, I know that there's a Father in heaven. And I say, my Father who art in heaven, how hallowed be thy name. I know he who designed the ear will hear me. I know he's hearing me. I don't care how silent it seems. I know he hears my prayer. He knows my need, and I'm not going to give up. I will keep on knocking. I will keep on seeking. I will keep on asking. Hallelujah. Abraham went through such a long period before he saw the promises of God realized in his life. He was expecting when God spoke to him, joy to the world. Immediately, you're going to be a blessing to the nations. Well, joy to the world is going to be my song. It's going to be my Christmas song. And all he got was silent night. Moses, so many years before he entered into the fullness of his calling that he knew about, that God had spoken to him about. What a time of silence. Until God appears in a burning bush. The people of Israel in darkness before they see their deliverance. Testing after testing and plague after plague. Things getting worse. Pharaoh's heart getting harder and harder and harder. And yet God was calling them to faith. God was calling them to believe. I don't know about your situation, but it may seem that your prayers are going unanswered. It may seem that everything is getting worse. Everything is getting darker. My friend, God has sent me here today to tell you that there is great deliverance for you. There is great promise for you. If you just keep on coming back to Him, God has placed, He's deposited faith in your heart. He wants to showcase it before the nations. He wants to showcase your faith before your coworkers, before your family. Keep on pressing on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on. Try to touch the hem of His garment, my friends. Even if the crowds try to push you away, press in. God has a blessing for your life, and He's going to cause your life to be a blessing to others. Hannah kept on coming back. Hannah was childless. She desired a child of God. God, please bless me with a child. Please, year after year, going up to the temple, offering her sacrifices, praying to God. But God was doing something. Even in the midst of what seemed like a prayer unanswered, God was stirring her heart. God was preparing her heart. God was molding her heart. You see, if He had answered her prayer immediately, she would have taken that son and just rubbed it in the face of her husband's other wife, you see, which used to mock her because she didn't have children. You see, God was aligning her heart with His heart, was preparing her heart to be a heart of compassion, a heart of tenderness, a heart of mercy. I don't know how long you've been praying for what you've been praying, but God is working on your heart. God is softening your heart. God is tenderizing your heart. God is aligning your heart with His heart so that you can share the same compassion that He has for you with others. Amen? He's going to change our motives. Keep praying. He'll change us. He'll change our prayer. Or He'll change our circumstances. But He's going to change something. Just keep on pressing into God. Church, this city and this generation is vexed with all sorts of demons. With all sorts of oppression. But God is calling us not to give up. No matter what we see in our circumstance, what we hear on the headlines, what we read on the headlines, what we see on the news, my friends, God is calling us to press through. He is going to revive our city. He has already spoken it. He's going to send the rain. And what the humility of God to call us to be co-laborers with Christ, to just participate. He's already set his heart to do it. And yet he invites us to pray, to press through so that he can prepare our hearts, like our pastor was sharing, prepare our hearts for the harvest. So that our hearts may represent him well when the flock starts coming in, when the saints start rolling in and marching in, looking like all they do and looking and with the habits that they have, dressing the way they dress. My friends, your heart and my heart will be prepared to love on them, to throw ourselves over their shoulders, to weep with them, to cry with them, to intercede with them, to lead them to their Father that loves them, who shed his blood on Calvary for them. My friends, he's doing something in our hearts. Let's keep praying for this city. Keep praying for your neighborhood. Keep praying for your job, your office. Keep praying for those people in school with you in the same classrooms. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. The greatness of our faith is not in its size. He said if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. It's not even in the ability of our faith to move mountains. It's that we take our faith and we place it in the hands who made the mountains. We take that faith, no matter how big, no matter how small, we place it in the hands of the one who's able to move mountains with his spoken word. My friends, that is great faith. He designed the ear. Shall he not hear? He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I believe her prayer and her faith was great because it appealed for mercy. And it continued to appeal for mercy even when her present reality was screaming unworthy. When all the voices around her were screaming unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. You don't belong here. You shouldn't be crying out to him. You don't. Who are you to raise your hands before? Who are you to even present yourself before a holy king? Who are you to come into his presence? She continued to cry out, have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. All the social voices saying, you're just a woman. He's surrounded by men, not by women. Your place is not here. All the cultural voices saying, you're a Greek, you're a Gentile. He's surrounded by Jews. You're not supposed to be here. All the emotional voices screaming out unworthy, your sense of failure. You're praying for a daughter that's demon possessed, and it's your fault that you allowed these demons to come into your household. It's your fault you allowed your daughter to enter into this seduction. You brought these things into your home. You failed as a parent. All those voices screaming out to her saying, you're unworthy. You don't belong here. You've messed up your life. Who are you to crawl out to God? It's all your fault anyway. She says, that's why I need mercy. It is my fault. I need God. I can't earn my way into his presence. I can't work my way into his presence. I need his mercy. My friends, I don't know if there was a Christmas carol rolling up in Christ's heart, but I know he was saying, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? I'm sure the disciples couldn't understand, but he was hearing something. He was hearing a woman who understood mercy. He was hearing the voice of someone who says, it's not about my worthiness. It's not about my earning his favor. It's about my need and his ability to supply that need. It's only his mercy. It's no merit of my own. And my friends, when we begin to cry out for mercy, when we understand mercy, my friends, that is great faith. My friends, why is this church here? Because of mercy. It's not because we've done anything right. It's not because we've got it all together. It's by the mercy of God. Why are you saved? Why are you sanctified? Why are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Why are you sitting in your right mind and clothed? Because of his mercy. Not because you've done it all right. Not because you got it all together. Not because you memorized enough scripture and you prayed enough and fasted enough. But because of his mercy, his mercy, his mercy. Hallelujah. Why can we have hope for this city? Because we know how to pray. Because we know how to fast. Because we've done this long enough. We got this thing. We got this church thing. We know how to intercede. We know how to press through. No, my friends, we can trust God for revival because he's a merciful God. We know His mercy. We've tasted His mercy. And we could share with this city. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. That the Lord is merciful. That He's mighty. That He's worthy to be praised. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I could never purchase it. I cry out for mercy. That's great faith, my friends. That's great faith. Sometimes we make faith all the anointing and all the eloquence of my prayer. My friends, it's not about that. It's not in our volume. It's not in our expressions of Christianese. Lord, devil, I rebuke you. And devil, I bind you. And the demons over city of New York, I bind you. My friends, we got to cry out for mercy. We got to come back to reality. We got to come back to truth. Truth. Truth is, there's no hope for the city outside of Christ. That's the truth. The truth is, we serve a merciful God who delights in blessing and answering our prayers. That's why we can come to God. Hallelujah. Mercy, mercy, mercy. It's not about our Christian talk. Ask those sons of Sceva when they said, we rebuke you in the name of Paul and in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches and name of Simon and all these. I don't remember the scripture exactly, but those demons jumped on those seven sons of Sceva, okay, and left them embarrassed and their garments torn because they weren't walking in faith. Are you a candidate for mercy? Then your prayers will be prayers of great faith. Do you understand that your family needs the mercy of God? Do you understand that your children need the mercy of God? I mean, I'm a teacher and I'm all for education, but education is not going to cut it. A good college is not going to cut it. It's not going to save our children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A good job is not going to save our children or save our neighborhoods. The mercy of God, the mercy of God is our only hope. Are you a sinner tonight? Are you bound with chains? Are you struggling with something you can't shake off? Are you trying to get it together in your own strength? Say, if I could just come to church enough, if I could serve in this ministry, if I could earn enough points in heaven, probably God will grant me my friends, it's mercy that you need. It's mercy that's available to you. Will you cry out for mercy and just call it like it is? God, I'm a sinner. God, and if you don't break the chains, there's no way I could be set free. God, come and set me free from this bondage. Oh, and Jesus hears this cry for mercy. And if he could sing that tune, do you hear what I hear? He would be telling the disciples, listen, do you hear what I hear? I hear the demons trembling. I hear the demons shaking. I hear the hordes of hell shaking because there's a woman who understands that it's by my mercy that her daughter is going to be set free. Times Square Church, do you understand that it's by mercy that God will answer our prayers? And only by his mercy. I believe the greatness of her faith was that she chose to adore his majesty, even when the very people who represented him were somewhat unhelpful. Now, giving them the benefit of the doubt, when they say, Jesus, send her away, for she crieth after us. Most commentators say that they were saying, in other words, send her away with what she's asking for. Give her what she wants, for she crieth after us. And they base that on the fact that he answers and says, It's not right for me to, you know, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. But regardless of what their intentions were, what their motives are, it doesn't sound like something too helpful for her situation. It doesn't seem like a friendly remark, an accepting remark. It seems like rejection is in the tone of their voice, a critical tone. She cries after us. Send her away. And I don't know what you've gone through, but there are times where even the people who represent him or should represent him may not be all that helpful to you. You may have been embarrassed even by someone in ministry or criticized by someone who calls themselves a Christian. You may have been disappointed by things that went on in your church life. You may have been rejected for a certain ministry or rejected in a ministry. Like Joseph and Mary, no room for them in the inn. You may have faced a lot of closed doors, and you may be harboring something of resentment, something of frustration and disappointment in the people of God. And those who are called to represent you say, how could this be a person in ministry? How could this be? How could they call themselves a brother or sister and have offended me like this? The word of God says offenses will come. Man, it's quiet in here. I don't know. I don't know if you're drifting or if you're listening. And I'm not justifying in any way the pain or the heartache that you've received on behalf of a brother or sister. But I'm here to tell you that great faith is not sidetracked with the offense. Great faith stays on track. Great faith sees God is able to bless me and to bless even those who have offended me. God's grace is sufficient to bless me, and his table overabounds enough for them who want to criticize me or who want to stunt my growth in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not going to let the offenses drag me back. I'm not going to let the offenses draw me down, or I'm not going to shy away because I've been hurt or I've been wounded. Some people get offended just because someone invades your seat. They take your personal space. Well, while they're worshiping, their hands are in your face and you're like offended. My friends, offenses will come, and I'm not trying to diminish the pain that some people may be going through. I know there may be people in this house that have been embarrassed and criticized and mistreated in other churches, probably maybe even in this church. Someone probably even with good intentions has done something wrong to you that has hurt you. And I'm not minimizing that. The wounds are real. The pain is real. But God is greater. God is greater. My brother used to punch me so hard when I would use his hairbrush. Yes, I used to use a hairbrush. And the problem with the hairbrush, when I would use his hairbrush, was my hair would stay in his hairbrush. And he would know it. I would forget to clean it. So he would realize that I had been using his hairbrush because he saw my hair there. He saw the evidence. And he wouldn't ask me, you use my hairbrush? He would just come to my room, boom, and punch me. And the pain would be so bad, it would go from one shoulder all across my chest to the other shoulder. And I would just fall, boom, in the bed. He's still my brother. I love my brother. There's a family tie that cannot be broken. And how cheap we sell the blood of Christ. Oh, she offended me. How could it be? She's my sister. She's my brother in Christ. I'm not talking to her anymore. I can't be in the same ministry as this person anymore. My friends, we're cheapening the blood of Christ that binds us together. His grace is sufficient. That's great faith. Great faith. She didn't get sidetracked. She continued to adore his majesty. She stayed focused on him being worthy. Him being worthy. He's still worthy. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. He is still worthy. Oh, I was offended in church. I'm not going to come back to service. My friends, he's still worthy. He's worthy to be praised. We sang it all of my life in every season. You are still God. And I have a reason to worship. I have a reason to sing to you. I have a reason to praise you. And if that song was bubbling up within the heart of Jesus, he would say, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? My remark couldn't keep her away. Your remarks couldn't keep her away. Nothing said. The social aspect, the emotional aspect, nothing can keep her away. She's going to worship me because she knows that I'm worthy. And lastly, I believe great faith not only approaches the Master, not only appeals for mercy and adores his majesty, but acknowledges his might, even when the parameters that religion has set are unwelcoming. I'm going to repeat that again because it sounds very wordy. Religion, you see, sets parameters. Religion tells people what they can do and what they can't do. In Christ, there's freedom. But religion always sets boundaries and says, up to here, you can't come any further. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, when Jesus said it is not proper to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he was speaking the religious mind of the day. This is not his heart. He loves this woman. He knows what he's going to do. He sees the faith in her heart. He's exploding with joy and with, because he knows what he's going to, just like he told his disciples, you give them something to eat, because he already knew what he was going to do. He's just orchestrating this showcase of faith so that he can show his disciples, this is what faith is all about. This is what I've been talking to you about. That even when religion says it's not proper to take the children's food and give it to the little dogs, she comes and says, yes, Lord, but even the little pups, even the little puppies close to the table that eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. My friends, she's understanding his greatness. She understands his might and his power. She's willing to press through all of the preconceptions of religion. She's willing to press through all the sense of hierarchy, the religious circles that believe that you have to have titles and degrees to be worthy of God's presence in your life. My friends, she's pressing through and saying, God is able to manifest his presence in my life. I don't have a degree. I don't have a title. You look at me. I don't have any pedigree, but I don't have an experience to minister to these kind of people. I don't have the know-how to go into where God's calling me to go, but I believe in a God who's inviting me into the supernatural. I believe in a God who's able to fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost and make me what I can't be to honor and glorify his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now that song is rising up within his heart. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Oh, Times Square Church, when you understand that God is not limited by your expectations and society's expectations and the parameters that religion sets on you, you begin to believe God for anything. He is the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. Tell Pastor David Wilkerson that he can't build a church in the middle of Times Square. And he says, God is able. I believe in the power of his might. Tell Pastor David Wilkerson he can't have a church with no parking lot like Pastor was sharing. And he'll say, I don't know how God is going to do it, but he's able. He is able. How am I going to minister to drug addicts when I've never been a drug addict myself? God is able. He is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Her faith was not enormous. Her faith was not magnanimous. Her faith was not powerful to move mountains. Her faith was placed in the hands of a mighty God. She acknowledged his might and power. There's enough on your table, even one crumb for your table. One word from your mouth is able to set my daughter free. Just speak the word, God. Just speak the word, and it shall be done. One word from your mouth produces light in the midst of darkness. When you say, let there be light, there's light. When you say revival, there's revival. When you say freedom, there's freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One word from his mouth. Will you stand with me this evening? I'm going to make an altar call. For those who, like me, don't want to offer up empty packages to God, but want that great faith that stirs his heart, that causes him to showcase our life before the unbelievers, that they too would come into saving grace. If there's anyone in the house who's given up on prayer because of the voices that have called you unworthy, the voices that have said guilty, 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 stop praying. You're guilty. You know you're guilty. My friends, that's why you need mercy. That's why you need to be up here in the altar. Come. We invite you. The altars are open. We're going to pray with you. That God would meet you at the place where you are with mercy, with grace sufficient for your need. If you've given up on prayer, you come. If you've gotten sidetracked in your worship, in your service, because you've been disappointed with the wounds, the hurts, the actions of others, come. God wants to heal you, not just for your own deliverance, but so you can go back and love them with the grace that God gives you, with the love that's poured out in your heart, the abundance of what he shares from his table so that you could share it with them. If you're frustrated because God has just not answered you the way you want him to answer you in your time frame, my friends, tonight is a night of surrender. Our faith may be tried as fire, but it's going to be brought forth to the glory and honor of his name. And people are going to be saved by that testimony. So you bring your tests, bring your trials, bring them. God is going to turn them around as a testimony to the glory of his name. But we're not promising you that it's going to change tomorrow. God is working in your heart, and God is working out that testimony. Tonight is a night where you recognize God. You are God. You see the big picture. And I've been praying for one thing, but God, you know exactly what I need, and you know how to bring it about. So God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm surrendering in worship. Bring your trial. Bring your testing. Bring. You will be a testimony to save many. We don't understand his ways sometimes, but we don't have to. Why haven't you answered me, God? I've been praying for this so many. So other people pray, and they just came to the Lord, and they asked God for this, and boom, they get it. What's up with me? I've been in church for a long time. I've served in this ministry and that ministry. I'm asking you for this. Why? What's going on? God is in control. Tis the season to return gifts or exchange gifts. I invite you tonight. You've been given a gift of faith. Return. Come back to him. Bring it back to him. It's not in you trying to find out how this faith thing works. It's about you placing it in a mighty God. Come to him and says, God, I'm placing my faith in you. Not faith in faith, not faith in my ability, not faith in my knowledge, faith in my instruction, but faith in God who's able. Come today. Return to him. He expects you to return. When those 10 lepers were touched and healed, only one came back, and he says, where are the other 9? I mean, why aren't they here? Return, return with that God has given you. Hannah came back with her son, with the answer to prayer, and placed it in his hands and says, God, he belongs to you. Bring your faith to God and say, God, I'm going to put it in your hands. As the musicians lead us in worship, you can continue to come. If God has spoken to your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Before the pastors come, let me pray with you. Father, you're stirring our hearts to believe you. And God, first of all, we want to repent of many times trying to walk this walk in our own strength when it's always been a gift from you. We come back. We come back to you. We come back to the heart of the gospel, that it was your mercy that came down to save us. And it's your mercy that keeps us. It's your mercy that strengthens us. It's your mercy that empowers us to do what we can't do in our own strength. We come back to mercy. God, forgive us. Forgive us for trying to do this in our own strength. Forgive us for offering up to you many times an empty package. God, give us faith. Give us more faith, dear God. Cause our faith to rise. Breathe upon these candlesticks, dear God. Breathe upon the flame. Once again, ignite the passion of true belief, true confidence in a God who cannot fail. God, we thank you for this. Make us into a testimony to all those around us that you would say, oh, woman, oh, church of God, oh, bride of Christ, great is thy faith. God, do it. Do it, God. God, do it. Forgive us, dear God, of unbelief, dear God. Help us, even in moments of unbelief, dear God, in places of impossibility. God, let faith arise in our hearts, dear God. We need your faith. We need that gift of grace. God, we thank you for it. I pray for a miracle in our hearts, dear God, today. In every heart that has responded, every heart of this congregation, everyone who hears this message on tape or on recording, dear God. Father, we're praying, dear God, for faith, to believe you for the impossible in our situations, in our homes, in our marriages, in our communities, dear God, in this city. Father, let the rain fall down on us, dear God, like we prayed earlier. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite this faith in our hearts. We thank you for it. We will give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. Give me 2 minutes to add a footnote to this message tonight. This lady was in a do or die moment, just like you are and I am today in the society that we're living in. But because she was in a do or die moment, she could hear something that many people around her couldn't hear. She laid hold of something of the mercy of God, and she saw that if she persisted, that God would give her an answer. She knew that. She knew it in her heart. It was deeply embedded there. Every true awakening of God throughout history, and when I talk about an awakening, I'm talking about people literally waking up to who God is, to why he came to this earth, to what he really accomplished on the cross, and how does that relate to us as ordinary people with our struggles and our frailties and our failings. Every true awakening of God has this one element in it. The people rise up and they will not take no for an answer. They've seen the promise. They understand the heart of the one who made those promises. They see the cross. They understand why he went to a cross, why he came to earth as a baby, why he wrapped himself in frail humanity, why he wants to walk with us. And suddenly they push away the voices of the accusers and all the religion around them and say, I've seen this in the heart of God. I know who I'm talking to. I see something in him. And I know that he can't withhold the answer from me. Every true awakening of God throughout history, prayer meetings have taken on a flavor that you don't find in regular church time. People simply will not take no for an answer because they have seen it and they know the heart of the one who made the promise. They've seen their freedom. They've seen their strength. They've seen their family worshiping God. They've seen something and they know that the one that they're praying to has given a promise. And they know that God is not someone who can lie. And they know the heart of the one who made the promise. And they see the desire of God. Martin Luther said it the best, that prayer is not convincing God to do something, it's rather laying hold of his willingness to do it, understanding that he is willing to do it. That's great faith. Great faith comes to the throne of God and says, I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm here by invitation. I know I'm not strong in myself. But I also know that you've covered me, that you've empowered me, that you've invited me on a journey, that your Holy Spirit is inside of me. You told me to come to the throne of God to find grace to help in my time of need. And you gave me a promise. And so I'm standing at your throne, God, and I'm taking you at your word. You said this is going to happen in my life. You said that you came to set the captives free and give sight to the blind and give healing to the bruised in heart. You said you came to give us the faith to move mountains. You told me that we can tread upon every devil of hell and everything that comes against us and nothing would by any means hurt us. You said in your word that if you believe, you told an old dirty centurion, if you believe, you will be saved in your house. That applies to me. I believe that with all my heart. Doesn't matter if they're still living at home. It doesn't matter at all. This is what you said and I believe that with all my heart. That's an awakening. An awakening is when people come into the presence of God and simply will not take no for an answer, no matter who tries to push them away from that ground of faith. That's why he said, woman, great is your faith. Great. It's not like she had an abundance of knowledge. It's not like she knew the Hebrew and Greek of meanings of words and was a regular attender at the synagogue or any of the rest of it. She simply knew who she was talking to. Amazing. When everybody else is trying to get the right formula and trying to get the words right. And thinking, if I just pray this long or fast this much, she just simply knew who she was talking to. Amazing, amazing. That's why I believe for New York City. I know who I'm talking to. I know the one who went to a cross. Father, we ask you for a gift of faith. There's a faith that goes beyond God, just the casual asking for things. There's a faith that's deeper. It's farther. It's more profound. It's a faith grounded in the understanding of who we're talking to, what you accomplished on the cross, and what the desire of your heart is. So, Lord, we stand before you tonight. And, Father, I'm asking you for freedom for these men and women who have come to this altar. Enough bondage, enough being ground in our past failures and sins, enough being trampled on by the wounds of the past. We've had enough of this. We are the people of God. We are a free people. We are a redeemed people. We are a people who have a song to sing. We have a testimony to give. We have light in our eyes. We have power in our lives. Enough, 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 enough of powerlessness. My God, my God, my God. We stand the ground of faith tonight. We thank you, Lord. You've been inviting us to believe you. You've been asking us to ask of you largely, Lord. So, God, we're not going to go down in unbelief. And we're not going to sink down in mediocrity. We're asking for something, oh God, that only you can do. And that you would bring glory to your name by taking us, oh God, and changing us from the inside out. Giving us a testimony and a song and faith to believe for this generation. Father, we thank you. God Almighty, we praise you for this in the unmatchable name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for victory. We thank you, God, for doing beyond and above all we could even ask or think. We thank you, God, for glorifying your name in New York City. We thank you for New Jersey and Connecticut, oh God. We thank you for moving on the churches. We thank you for freeing our children in our streets, Lord. We thank you for invading our schools and our colleges, oh God. We thank you for saving people on Broadway. We thank you, God, for bringing people home to your house by the millions, Lord, in this generation. We thank you, God, with all of our heart tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Because you are merciful. You are good and your mercy endures forever. For no other reason, but you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of faith in this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I will not take no for an answer when I see it in the Word of God. Get that down deep. Get it down deep inside. I see it in God's Word. It is mine. And no is not an acceptable answer. Oh, yes, I may have to wait a day or two, but no is still not an acceptable answer. Praise God, God already spoke it. I don't have to beg for it. He already promised it to me. And I'm going to hold His word, oh God, in my heart. Hallelujah. One more time. Give God a shout of glory in this house. We're going to go rejoicing tonight because we live on the victory side in God's kingdom. Thank God. One more time. Give Him a shout of victory. Victory is ours. Hallelujah.